Are you there, Hannah?
I am, Kerry. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And how are you on this slightly damp morning here in Cardiff?
Very well, very well. It's also damp and grey here in Cheshire.
Cheshire, well, there we are. Such is life. But we'll battle through it, Hannah. But thank you so much for joining me this morning. And we're not only talking about your good self, but we are talking very much about your daughter, Amelia, who's a very, very talented illustrator and has been involved with a book called A Monster Stole My Lunchbox. So we'll certainly get onto that in a moment. But there is a backstory regarding your good self as well. So please just tell our lovely listeners a little bit about your family history, Hannah, you know, those twists and turns that have brought you onto the radio this morning.
Well, my granddad Mervyn, so he was Mervyn Haseman, and he was one of the co-writers for Doctor Who, and went on to do things like An Eden Line, Howard's Way.
Ah, yes, yes.
A film called Jane and the Lost City, which was kind of a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, which he was kind of famous for. but growing up, he was just my granddad who sat in his study and wrote and was extremely theatrical and liked telling us all stories.
Stories, lovely, lovely. So, I mean, that absolutely is a lovely grounding, isn't it, to have from a granddad, somebody who's got the time to sit you down, tell you some silly stories, but clearly a very talented man. And as you say, through his Doctor Who involvement, was the man very much behind one of the most iconic characters, really, in those early Doctor Who series, and who, of course, now subsequently then has had so many books written about him as a spin-off, Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart.
Yes, yeah, and this is the thing, growing up, I was not really a Doctor Who fan. The theme tune used to send me running behind the sofa.
Oh, did it? Yes, yeah.
But I didn't realise that he wrote Doctor Who probably until I was in my early teens.
Yes, yes.
When the local paper was doing an interview.
Right.
And I was like, what? You did that?
You thinking, granddad?
Yeah, you're just granddad.
Wow.
And so it's one of those things that he kind of kept friends with a lot of people who he works with in the BBC. So
sure. There
was often people phoning up and to me, they were just granddad's friends.
Absolutely.
But then you've got your friends over there going, is that really so-and-so?
It was. What a nice way to be brought up then, with a granddad who is a bit famous. And but you're right about Doctor Who. I mean, clearly it's a series that's had such longevity. It's just not true. But I mean, there are those people of a certain age who will all say, "Oh, I watch most of it from behind the sofa because it was the Daleks that worried them." Or, as you say, the theme tune was a bit spooky, or any number of the other aliens that Doctor Who and his assistants came up against.
Yeah, and it's only been since, I mean, when the lost episodes were found, I actually sat down and I was like, right, I've got to do this. I've read the kind of scripts, because for my granddad's 80th we found all the lost episode scripts,
right.
And I had them bound into a book for him.
Super
So I thought, no, I'm going to sit down and watch them. I didn't actually know that they'd found the lost episodes until there was this announcement saying, we're about to release them. They kind of digitally remastered them.
Yes, yes.
It was just like, wow. Seeing it in black and white, I think, gave that edge to it as well.
Well, absolutely. Black and white, although obviously, I understand youngsters today will say, what do you want to be watching black and white things for? But
exactly.
It had an atmosphere all of its own, didn't it?
Yeah. No, there was a time where the British Transport Police actually knocked on my granddad's door and took him for questioning,
right.
Because they thought they'd actually filmed in a disused tube station. And it was a cardboard model with toilet roll being used as the tube station. But no, it took some convincing for them to actually realize, no, it wasn't.
That is slightly hard to believe. But as you've said it, Hannah, clearly we have to believe you. And we say well done to the British Transport Police, really, from back in the day. So there we are. Granddad Mervyn, clearly a very, very special place in your heart for all sorts of reasons. Yeah. And then let's talk about your very, very talented daughter, Amelia.
Well, I mean, she never ceases to amaze me with her talent. Before we relocated from Wales up to Cheshire, we relocated kind of, I think we moved about 3 or 4 days before the lockdown started.
Right, okay.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
But she loved to draw. And she originally was into the kind of like the anime, the Japanese style.
Yes.
And she wanted to study art for GCSE. And she was told because she couldn't really get her head around the shading of an apple and things that she wasn't that good at it. So in lockdown, she had lots of time on her hands and she just spent her time drawing and she was just improving and improving. And she said that she wanted to get into digital art as well.
Yes.
And so hushed conversations with the husband. Do we, don't we spend out on this kind of tablet thing for her?
Yes.
And we did. And it was the best thing we've ever done. She's taken to it like a duck to water, but she still loves kind of drawing freehand as well. So she does a lot of use with fine liners,
yes,
and things like that. So for the more cartoon things.
Right, right, indeed.
And then she's got her selection of, as my mother would call them, felt tip pens.
Felt tip pens, excellent, yes.
A little bit more than a felt tip pen.
Can't beat those.
She also does the digital art as well. And I was having a conversation one day with Sean from Candy Jar, and I said, oh yeah, Millie likes drawing. He said, oh, send us some, we'll see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And he phoned back and he was very impressed.
Right.
So
right.
He had this idea of where he would kind of want to place her.
Yes.
And
yes, yeah,
give her break, as it were. And yeah, that's how it kind of all started.
Well, I mean, that's great. And I mean, of course, we mentioned about, as you say, all the digital aspect of it all now, which clearly has all come about in these modern times that we live in. But I mean, it just gives illustrators so many more strings to their bows, doesn't it? And I mean, the fact of the matter is there's a lot to be said for the old traditional styles. But clearly, Amelia, or Millie, as you call her, which is fair, because I mean, you know her quite well, you know, she can obviously turn her hand to all of it.
Yeah, I look, there was one evening where I sat and just watched her doing the digital thing, because usually she just locks herself away in a room.
Right.
She's got her headphones on and just carries on.
Yeah, yes.
She was doing the cover for A Monster Stole My Lunchbox. And it was just the way that how the speed that she was working, and she's going, oh, this bit needs shading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need to do a bit here. And the things that she was doing, she was saying, like, I want the cover to be as inclusive and the pictures to be inclusive as possible. So making kind of doing that one had a hearing aid.
Right.
And that the braids had to be right.
Okay.
And
yep.
Then there was the cheeky chappy hanging from a tree and stuff like that, playing like children do, but being as inclusive as possible.
Well, that's excellent. Excellent.
But yeah, it was just sitting and watching, and she's taught herself, so she watches the YouTube tutorials,
yes,
of how to use different brushes and how to kind of use the programs that she does. And well, I couldn't do it. I struggle to turn on the television sometimes.
Well, no, it sounds like she is a young lady who obviously now has found her niche. And I mean, would you think it is going to genuinely be something now that she will take as she moves forward in life and make a career of it?
Yeah, I mean, we were umming and ahhing, did she want to go to university, didn't she? Because there's only a few universities that offered the courses that she was looking for.
Okay.
So it was kind of less illustration. She wanted to go into more comic book arts.
Right, yes.
But she's decided after chatting with the tutor there that maybe do another 2 years at college. So she's doing her A-levels now.
Right.
But do 2 years at college, and she's just had an unconditional acceptance for Cheshire College studying games design and development.
Right.
So then that opens up whether if she wants to go into animation as well. because some of the students have then kind of gone on to work on kind of cartoons such as the CBeebies one, Bluey, the Australian dog.
Right, yeah.
And doing things like that. And some of them have then kind of gone to work for Marvel. And so it does open up a lot more. And then if she wants to go to university, then yes, after that, she can know, well, do I do animation?
Well, that's it. I mean, let's be honest. The world is her oyster there, isn't it, really? Because, I mean, clearly this is just such an area of the media and the arts, which is just booming, I mean, all over the world. I mean, a global business. And my word, it sounds like she, you know, she's having a very good sort of taster now, thanks to Candy Jar and the opportunity to do the illustrations for A Monster Stole My Lunchbox.
Yes, yeah, and it was lovely how they kind of allowed her to express what she thought it should be. So Tom had kind of given a two scenario option for each drawing,
right?
That he wanted. So it was like either we could have witches doing this or we could have vampires doing this. So she sat there and created a few sketches and storyboards and some of the pictures may have taken kind of 5-10 minutes and they were the ones she had a really clear vision. But then there were others where she was like, hang on, this needs changing, that needs changing.
Yes.
And so it may have taken her 3 days for a picture. But
right,
overall, I mean, I've got my favourite picture in the book and it's the same one that is Amelia's and also her dad's.
Oh, well, there we are. So then you must all be right then, obviously. But what, as we said, what a lovely, lovely opportunity through Candy Jar for her to be involved in a children's book, which hopefully now when it gets launched or released on the 30th of March, lots of people are going to buy through their local bookshops and also through the Book Council of Wales and so on. And clearly, I'm sure she's probably already got her mind set on future projects.
Yes, yeah, I think there is talk of a second one coming out
right
soon. So she's going to get her kind of A-levels finished. So hopefully she'll be a little less stressed.
Yeah, no, well, that's a fair point. That's, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it, Hannah? That, I mean, obviously with youngsters, when they are talented and, you know, opportunities come their way, obviously you have to grab them. But you've also got to make sure that you've got the building blocks there of things like exam results sorted and passed, et cetera, because, you know, you need those to fall back on occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, she's studying, obviously, art.
Yeah, of course, yes.
It would be wrong not to. But also English and history. And so she finds that because she's started kind of writing her own little comic books and things.
Yeah.
I think they call them zines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100%. But she's been doing those and giving them to people in the school and they've been well received. And so that's why she's kind of, well, with the English, it helps with the storytelling.
Yes, yes.
And that in turn then comes back and helps her with the drawings. And then she's also studying history. And so that's kind of quite important as well, because she can then kind of go back and go, oh, actually, I want to do this based around, say, the 1920s, 1930s. And it gives that kind of extra edge to it.
Sounds as though she is a very well-grounded young lady to me. That's what I think.
Yeah, she is. And very messy, but very grounded.
Well, there we are. That's fair enough. So the book, A Monster Stole My Lunchbox, what sort of age range would you say the book is aimed at, Hannah?
Well, I mean, I've got a four-year-old and he absolutely loves the book.
Right.
And she went in to do a talk on Book Week with the local preschool.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of saying, imagine the monsters. And so right from kind of preschool age, I'd say probably up to about 10 or 11.
Okay.
So it's quite a wide range.
Super.
And at the back of the book, it's got some kind of lovely open questions that kind of help with children's language.
Yes.
And it's got a soundtrack that goes to the book, which you can get the QR code on the back.
Great.
It's fantastic.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like every base has been covered, really.
Yeah. All thanks to Sean and Tom, of course.
Yes, well, absolutely. I mean, we need to say that. Tom Dexter is the man behind the words. As you say, Sean at Candy Jar and all his great team, obviously, I'm sure, have worked really hard to bring this to fruition. And I guess you must be very, very proud parents at the moment.
Very proud, extremely proud of her.
Well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Obviously, it was a shame we weren't able to speak to Amelia this morning, but I know you've kindly sort of on our behalf just asked her a few questions, and clearly, I mean, some of them you've already answered, but she obviously is a dab hand, as we would say, at turning, as we said, from the up-to-date digital sort of way of creating illustrations to still obviously enjoying doing the freehand work as well.
Yeah. I mean, her kind of style originally, again, we had the kind of Japanese influence, but yes. She also loves the old style cartoons such as the original Tom and Jerry's and the original
right.
Disney.
Yes, yes.
So there is a real mix there. And she also loves her comics.
Mm-hmm.
So she does, with the comics, it's a lot of the kind of black fine liners, the cartoons,
yes.
More of the pens, bringing into the kind of graphics, and then the illustration part is mostly graphics, but mm-hmm. She would always start with paper and pencil.
Right. Well, as you say, great that she's been able to, you know, sort of get into all of the different styles. And again, obviously, having age on her side, I mean, youngsters these days, I mean, like kids always, I mean, they are just such sponges, aren't they, that they take in so much at this sort of age. And a lot of it literally does stick and it stays with them forever.
Yeah. And that's the good thing. I mean, when I was growing up, we were lucky to have kind of the one TV in the school that got wheeled through, and we all got excited, and let alone a computer, and just seeing how these things can help in everyday life as well.
Surely,
yes. And people can make a career out of the kind of art side of it, and you can work remotely, so if you're not in the place, you can do it and just send it.
Mm.
That really, really helps.
Well, you know, as we said, the kids these days, they don't know they're born, do they? But that's another topic of conversation. Well, Hannah, it's been great having the chance to have a chat to you. And please do send our very best wishes to Amelia and wish her all of the best. I'm sure she doesn't need good luck, really, because it sounds to me like she's got it all nailed down very well. But let me just tell people again, the name of the book is A Monster Stole My Lunchbox by Tom Dexter. And your lovely daughter, Amelia Hatt, has done all of the illustrations. Approximately how long did it take her to sort of complete the task of all of the illustrations, Hannah?
I'd probably say about 2 months to
right.
When she was 100% happy with everything.
Okay. Oh, so, I mean, she's clearly a very quick worker, given that, you know, she's got all her schooling to look to as well.
Yeah.
I suppose, really, at the moment, it's her life, isn't it, to a large extent, as we said, obviously, her schooling. I mean, clearly, it's absolutely the thing that's floating her boat.
Yeah, and also because she draws to kind of, like, de-stress, as it were. She'll just do it in a spare time, so she'll set time aside to do projects, but
yes.
Then she'll work on them as well when she's de-stressing from things.
Well, we all need that. Hannah, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and as I say, please send our very best wishes to Amelia. We look forward to the book being released now on the 30th of March by Candy Jar, fingers crossed we'll get the chance to maybe have a chat with her on the phone sometime in the future.
Oh, that would be lovely. Thank you ever so much, Kerry, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you, Hannah. That's great. Nice to talk to you.